This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope that this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
I want you to take your copy of God's Word and stand. Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6. Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6. This is what the Bible says. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. So if we go and sow, we'll weep and reap. If we go and sow, we'll weep and reap. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I've been preaching a series entitled Better Together. I want to conclude that today with probably the most important message that I'll share in this series. It's entitled Witnessing is Better Together. Witnessing is Better Together. And what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, is we need one another. In 1995, there was two babies. They were twins. They were born. Briley and Kyrie Jackson. Now, these two twins, not a lot special about them, but they were born 3 months early. Briley and Kyrie Jackson were born 3 months early. Now, Kyrie did extremely well, but Briley struggled. She had a struggle breathing and heart rate problems, oxygen was low, and their oxygen level was low. Her arms and little legs turned bluish gray. She was gasping for air. They were actually in two separate incubators. But a nurse had an idea. She said, what if we put them in the very same incubator? And she did. And that's what happened. When she put them in the very same incubator, Kyrie reached her little arm over and put it around Briley. And the story is that immediately, Briley's breathing and heart rate problems got better. These two girls did extremely well. This is those girls today. They're doing great. You know what's amazing? That's a beautiful story of how physically we need each other. Physically, we need each other. But I want you to know something, folks. Spiritually, we need each other. Spiritually. Do you know the Bible says in Romans 10 and 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's a beautiful verse, but there's one after it. It's verse 14. It says, how shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe upon him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear except somebody tells them? How shall they hear except somebody tells them? Now, let me tell you something. We were selling whiskey illegally out the back door. But there was a man coming in our front door whose name was Pastor Clayton Jones. And he would come into our front door and say, Jesus loves you all. And I'd love to have you in my church. I wish you all would come to church. I love you, and Jesus loves you. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't be here preaching today had it not been for that man coming in the front door and telling us about Jesus. And let me say something. You wouldn't be here unless somebody told you about Jesus. It may be a mom, it may be a dad, it may be a friend, but you're here because somebody told you about Jesus. And see, folks, 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. And when we come to know Christ, we have a desire to tell others about Jesus. We have a desire to tell others about Jesus. See, what we're called to do is to give our faith away. Let me say this, I wouldn't offend you, but if we don't have a desire to give our faith away, perhaps we ought to give it up. If we don't have a desire to give it away, perhaps we ought to give it up. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, we gotta keep the faith. No. We don't need to keep the faith. We need to share the faith. We need to share the faith. Now, I appreciate everybody that's involved and everybody that serves in our church. I appreciate people that keep the nursery. I really do. I appreciate people that keep the nursery. But let me tell you something. Keeping the nursery is not sharing your faith. I appreciate the people that sing and lead us in worship. It's wonderful. But I want you to know, because you sing and lead in worship, that's not sharing your faith. Because you're an usher, that doesn't mean you're sharing your faith. Because you park cars on Sunday, that doesn't mean you share your faith. Because you work in children's church, that doesn't mean you share your faith. Because you're a greeter, that doesn't mean you share your faith. Here's what's interesting. 80% of Christians, people just like you, say we ought to share faith. We ought to tell people about Jesus. We ought to invite people to church. But listen, of the 80% who say we ought to do it, 61% say in the last 6 months, I've not shared my faith nor invited anybody to church. 61% of the 80 say, in the last 6 months, I've not shared my faith or invited anybody to church. Now, here's what's bad. Most of the time, folks, I would encourage people, look to those that are older in the faith. Look to those that are older. But let me say something. The older a person is in the church, the longer they've been in the church, the less likely they are to share their faith. The longer a person's been in the church, the less likely they are to share their faith. Now, Proverbs 11 and 30 says this, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, let me talk to you about why we should share faith. We should share faith because of the value of a soul. Because of the value of a soul. Look what the Bible says in Mark chapter 8. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? You know what that says? God said one soul is more important to me than the whole world. The things that we think are so important, they're not important to God. Let me tell you what's important to God. People is what's important to God. People is what's important. God's not into buildings. God's not into bands. God's not into budgets. God's into his bride. God's into people. People's what God cares about. Now, when I'm talking about the value of a soul, I want you to understand why it's so valuable. It's the desirability. And what I mean by the desirability, I want you to understand God desires your soul. But Satan also desires your soul. God desires your soul, but Satan desires your soul. There's a real demonic warfare. And the leader of that demonic warfare is Satan. And Satan not only desires your soul, he desires the souls of your children. He desires the souls of your grandchildren. Desirability. See, what is something worth? You say, I've got a truck, it's worth $10,000. It's not worth $10,000 if people are only willing to pay $5 for it. What something is worth is what somebody's willing to pay for it. Let me tell you what your soul's worth. It was worth heaven, giving up the prize jewel of heaven and his son, Jesus Christ, coming to this low land of sorrow and shedding his blood on a cross. The red royal blood of heaven. Somebody said, oh, he spilled his blood. No, if you spill something, you do it accidentally. His blood wasn't spilled. His blood was shed. He shed his blood on purpose for your sin. One man said to another man, he said, if you had something you didn't want, it was just wasting away, would you give it to somebody else who wanted it? He said, sure I would. He said, well, why don't you give your life to Jesus? You're just wasting it. And Jesus wants it so very much. I want you to know your soul is desirable. But I also want you to know your soul is durable. And what I mean by durable, There was a day that you was not, folks, but there never will be a day that you will not be. You're going to live forever somewhere. We're either going to live forever in heaven or we're going to live forever in hell. I want you to know you're durable. You always will be. Sometimes we say, I know it's semantics, but where are you going to spend eternity? You can't spend eternity. You can spend $10. Eternity's unending. You can't spend it. Bobby Bowden said, by the way, this is the only thing we'll say about football today. Bobby Bowden said, it would be better for a person to never have been born than not be born again. It would be better for a person to have never been born than not be born again. Because your soul is desirable, it's durable. But also, there's the possibility. There's the possibility. See, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. See, sitting in your seat right now, there are three people. The person you are, the person you could be for evil, and the person you could be for God in good. And God sees the possibility. God sees what you can become. I remember years later going back home, and I was telling you the story about how we was raised, and our family wasn't in church. We put the funk in dysfunctional. Just as pagan and as lost as could be. But I go back home and I'm preaching. And Judge Nelson Lane comes to hear me preach. I'm standing at the door. And Judge Lane shakes my hand. And he said, Benny, I always thought you would stand before me. But I didn't think it'd be in a pulpit. That's what Jesus Christ does, folks. Jesus Christ sees the possibility. He sees what people can become. He sees the potential, folks. He sees the potential in everybody. You know, there was a man in Luke chapter 19. His name was Zacchaeus. He was about this high. He was just like Boss Hogg on the Dukes of Hazzards. All he cared about was money. All he cared about was a deal. All he cared about was getting his hands on some resources. All he cared about was money, and he thought money was the answer to everything. Jesus came by, and Boss Hogg had climbed up in a sycamore tree to see Jesus. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. And the Bible says, Zacchaeus, this money-hungry, greedy rascal, this money-hungry, greedy rascal accepted Jesus Christ. And after he accepted Jesus Christ, he said, half of my goods I give to the poor. And he said, if I've taken anything by false accusation, I want to restore it fourfold. Let me tell you something. He was the greediest, stingiest guy around. But Jesus saw potential in him. Jesus saw him. Jesus saw him not as greedy. Jesus saw him as generous, because Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes everything. And ladies and gentlemen, we should see the possibility. See, we need to share faith because of the value of a soul, but we need to share faith because of the command of the Savior. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 4:19. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I want to ask you something. If I'm not fishing, am I really following? Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus said they're synonymous. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Well, I think I'll do it. No, Jesus, don't you think about it. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. There's a third reason why we ought to do it. Because of the reward of the soul winner. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Many times parents will call me, Brother Benny, need you to come over to the house. Why didn't y'all be glad to come? Why do you want me to come? Our child is asking questions about Christ. Would you come over and Would you come over and lead our faith, our child of faith in Christ? Let me tell you something, folks. I'll be glad to do that, but you're going to miss one of the greatest blessings of your life. You're going to miss one of the greatest, most rewarding things of your life. You don't need the pastor. It's not rocket science. No, you're going to miss a great blessing. There is such a blessing in seeing somebody come to faith in Jesus Christ. There's such a blessing in seeing somebody come to faith in Jesus Christ. I remember when Savannah was 5 years old, February the 18th, 1999, Barbara said she's asking questions. I said, well, Savannah, let's, you and I and your mother go in here. She said, Daddy, I want to ask Jesus in my heart. And I said, pray this prayer with Daddy. She said, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. Jesus, I believe that you died, and I thank you for forgiving me. I prayed that prayer with Savannah. I said, Savannah, as you well know, you were adopted. And I couldn't be there when you were born physically. I couldn't be there. But I'm here for your spiritual birth. And if God had told me you can only be at one, Savannah, I would have chosen this one. I would have chosen this one. Because what a reward. Folks, see, all this stuff is fleeting. Everything that we think is important, it's not important. Don Shula. You ever know, Don Shula was a coach. He went 17-0. What's wild? People that are not famous trying to become famous. And people that are famous trying to put ball caps on so nobody knows them. He was 17-0, and he said, the people are driving me crazy. He told his wife, we got to get away. Let's go to New Hampshire. Nobody will know us there. Don Shula said the plane landed, and he said, we went to the hotel, and I said, since it's raining, let's go to the movies. He said, my little wife and I in little hick town in New Hampshire, we were heading to the movies. We were walking in, and the people started applauding. I said, gosh. And a guy said, we're so glad you're here. And Don Shula said, how do you know me? And the guy said, is there any reason I should? He said, sir, all I know is the manager said of this theater, if two more people show up, he'll show the movie. Folks, all that stuff is fleeting. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Now, let me make four statements, and you can get out of here. Number one, we must be committed to share our faith. We must, and when I say committed, folks, you've got to be intentional about it. You've got to have a strategy. You've got to have a plan. I've been doing this for years. I keep it in the back of my Bible. It's my most wanted list. I've got names of people that are not Christians. I've got names. Hey, and by the way, some of you have children. You have friends as well. They're a Christian. Get real, folks. Get real. They hadn't been in church in forever. Get real. You say, well, now, wait. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No. And you don't have to go home to be married, but you won't have much of a relationship either way. You've got to, get real, folks. Barbara, I love you, but I don't want to come home. Barbara, you're so special to me, but I'm going to miss 4 weeks before I'll be home. You said, Brother Benny, you're rubbing the cat's fur the wrong way. Turn the cat around. It's a most wanted list. And you put the names on it. And you start praying for those people. And you get involved in those people's life. And you identify who they are. You say, well, wait. And then you talk to them and you invite them. You say, well, Pastor, I just want to live a good Christian life. And I'm all for living a good Christian life. But folks, people don't get saved because of your good life. They get saved because of his good death. They don't get saved because of your good life. They get saved when they hear what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross. Now, let me say something right quick. Not one time in the Bible does the Bible tell a lost person to come to church. Not one time. You're taking it out of context. Not one time, but over and over it says, you go. You go and you tell them about Jesus. You go and you tell them about Jesus. One little boy was talking to his mom, and he said, Mama, I ain't going. She said, oh, Johnny, it's terrible English. She said, you don't say, I ain't going. You say this, you are not going. He is not going. They are not going. She said, Johnny, do you understand? He said, yeah, they ain't nobody going. And folks, if we're not careful, there's nobody going. When we ought to just be nobodies that's telling everybody about somebody that can change anybody. I'm not a hunter. I've never been a hunter. I mean, I appreciate hunters. I minister to a lot of hunters. I'm not a hunter. I never could understand getting out of a warm bed and getting in a cold tree. I'm not a hunter. But I'm not opposed to hunting. I'm not opposed. But could you imagine you go hunting and you get in the cabin and you're eating Brunswick stew and you expect the deer to come to the cabin? Surely that deer is going to show up anytime. No, no, Vern, you got to get out there and get him. I'm all excited, folks. I'm probably more excited. I'm in my 30th year. I'm more excited about preaching. I'm more excited about ministry than I've ever been in my life. I told the mother, I said, Barbara, I'm just so excited. I'm just excited. I mean, I had a little cold, took some cough medicine. I said, Barbara, it's made me so hyper. She said, my God, how can you tell? I'm just excited. I'm thrilled about next week. I'm thrilled about next week. At our campuses, we're going to have great worship. With these people do great leading us in worship. Every campus does great. I'll tell you. I'm excited about next week launching life groups. I've certainly enjoyed my life groups. But can I tell you something, folks? As good as all that is, hugs and hallelujahs are not enough when people all around us are dying and going to hell. I don't mean it wrong, but hugs and hallelujahs are not enough when people all around us don't know Jesus Christ. And folks, we must make a commitment. We must make a commitment that we're going to share our faith, that I'm going to invite somebody. What an indictment on me, folks. What an indictment on me. If you could come into my community where I live, if you could go to the places where I do business, if you could go to my neighbors and they say, that's a pastor, he's never once invited me to church. God help us. Somebody said, I'm on a plane right now. Going on a mission trip. Let me tell you something. If we're not awful careful, we'll cross a mission field to reach a mission field. Let me tell you something. We don't have to cross the seas. We just got to see the cross. And there's people all around us that need Jesus Christ. There's people, you're coming in contact with people every day that need Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. People all the time need Christ. Let me make statement number two. We must be concerned when we share faith. We must be concerned. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping. We must be concerned. People don't care how much we know till they know how much we care. We must be concerned about people. God's concerned about people. God's crazy about people. God's infatuated with people. I've said 1,000 times, that's what matters to God. That's what ought to matter to us. It's people. Number three, we must be consistent when we share faith. We must be consistent. We live a consistent life. We live a consistent life. I mean, folks, we're the same. God, what an indictment if somebody said, is he bipolar? One day he's glad to see me. The next day I don't even think he likes me. We must be consistent. Let me tell you something. Matthew 5 and 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which are in heaven." Your life may be the only Bible people read. You say, "Well, I can do this." Let me tell you, you can do a lot of things, but I want to ask you something. Is it going to destroy your testimony? You need to think about it. "Oh, I can do this. There's no scriptural premise that I can't do that." Well, there may not be any scriptural premise that you can't do that, but I want to ask you something. Is it going to destroy your testimony? I said to our athletic program Thursday night, "Folks, if you win the game and destroy your testimony, you lost. If you win the game and destroy your testimony, you've lost." I'm just being transparent. I love games as much as anybody, but some of those coaches need to clean up their mouths. If you win the game and destroy your testimony, you lost. If you win the game, offend 15 people, you lost. I don't know why I'm on that. Because I didn't even want to talk about games. Live a consistent life. Be a friend and good listener. Ask the Holy Spirit to direct you. Avoid arrogance and preachiness. Avoid arrogance and preachiness. Now let me tell you the last point. We must be confident in sharing our faith. See, the Bible says, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." When you invite people, let me just say this. I just finished a 9:30 service, and I saw a lady, and I invited her to church for the first time Thursday night. She was here today in the 9:30 service. Everybody you invite won't come, but some will. Everybody you share your faith with won't accept Jesus, but some will. Listen closely. 82% of people that don't go to church said, "I'm likely to go if somebody would invite me." 82% said, "I'm likely to go if somebody would invite me." See, folks, God doesn't, he's not asking you to be a judge. We don't need to be judging people. I say again, we don't need to be judging people. We're not supposed to judge people. We'll stand before a judge one day. We're not supposed to be a lawyer. We're not supposed to be a lawyer. No, well, a lawyer's going to argue the case. We're not supposed to argue. Somebody said, let's argue this. No, I don't want to argue with anybody. What we're supposed to be, according to Acts 1 and 8, we're supposed to be witnesses. We're just supposed to tell people, like that guy in the Bible. He said, "All I know is I was blind and now see." "All I know is I was blind and now see. All I know is what Jesus has done for me." There was a missionary. His name was Milton Cunningham. He got on a plane flying from Atlanta to Dallas. He said, "I sat down in the middle seat. To my right was a distinguished businessman. To my left, I noticed, was a little girl with Down syndrome. The little girl with Down syndrome said to me, 'Did you brush your teeth this morning?'" He said, "I said to that little girl, 'Yes, I did.' She said, 'Good, that will keep your breath from stinking.'" That little girl then said to him, "Do you smoke?" He said, "No, I don't smoke." She said, "Good, because that will cause you to die." And then that little girl said to him, "Do you love Jesus?" He said, "Yes, I love Jesus." He said, a little time passed, and that little girl looked at me and she said, "Ask him, did he brush his teeth this morning?" And he said, I don't know about that. She said, "Ask him." And he looked at that guy and he said, "My friend wanted me to ask you, did you brush your teeth this morning?" And he said, "Yes, I brushed my teeth this morning." And then she said, "Ask him if he smokes." And he said, "My friend wanted me to ask you, do you smoke?" And he said, "No, I don't smoke." She said, "Ask him if he loves Jesus." He said, "My friend wanted me to ask you if you love Jesus." He said, "I can't say that I do. But I've been thinking a lot about it. And he said, I was able to talk to that man and share the plan of salvation. And that man prayed to receive Christ. Somebody said, thank God for Milton Cunningham. I say, thank God for a little girl with Down syndrome. See, Pastor, you've pushed hard like Grandparents' Day next week. Passion usually comes out of the pain. What's the story? This is the story. Our family got in church, and team, we were just as lost as could be. There's no preachers in my family. It's not a church family. It's just a family that's lost. I remember growing up and people saying, parents saying, don't play with him. Stay away from him. Then they talk about what my mama did. Don't play with him. We were just as lost as we could be. And I got saved. And I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I just started in the book of John, started reading it. I'd try to pray the best I could. But we was going to have a revival at our little old church, the Mac Minville Congregational Methodist Church, and we had a preacher that was going to preach it named Robert Johnson. Every time I'm in his area preaching, he comes and he hears me preach. And Robert Johnson was going to preach our revival, and my grandmother was in her 70s. She had never been, I'd never known Granny to go to church. I'd never known my, she'd lived a rough life her entire life. And I called Granny up and I said, Granny, I wish you'd go to church with us. We're having a revival. I had a 74 GMC pickup, 3-speed on the column. The cleavage would hang up. I'd have to crawl underneath that old truck and get the cleavage on some idiot behind you blowing beep, beep, beep. I said, Granny, I'll come and get you. I'll come, Benny. We having a revival, and that preacher preaches, and Granny and I are sitting right in that area. And I thought, Lord, I pray Granny gets saved tonight, and I really pray my grandmother gets saved. She's old. Now, by the way, as I'm 54, 70s are not that old anymore. And I want Granny to get saved. And Granny did. We was driving. I said, Granny, that was a good service, wasn't it? She said, I'm not going back. I said, why, Granny? She said, Benny boy, that preacher stared at me the whole time he was preaching. She said, he stared at me, and I felt so uncomfortable, and I knew just as well as anything. I didn't know much about God, but I knew what the Lord was doing. He was dealing with Granny's heart. Next night, I called, Granny, please come. Please come. I'll tell you what, Granny. We'll go to the Sonic. I'll pick you up and we'll go to the Sonic drive-in. And we'll get us one of them big hamburgers, Granny. And then we'll go to church. Well, okay, I think I can do that. Whatever it takes, amen. I got Granny in that truck. Me and Mama and Granny was going to church, and that preacher started preaching, and I could tell the Lord was dealing with my grandmother, much like he's dealing with some of you right now. He was dealing with my grandmother, and invitation came, and I looked over at Granny. I could tell Granny was moved. And about that time, something happened. A few rows in front of her, that church had those old theater seats. One of her grandbabies got its leg caught in the seat. Listen to me closely. The devil will do anything to distract your mind from what God's trying to do. The devil will do anything to distract your mind from what God's trying to do. See, here's catch. Somebody said, she sat there and held that baby all during the service and it screamed bloody murder. That's fine, ma'am. I wouldn't offend you, but I want to give you a news flash. There could have been lost people all around you while you were sitting there holding that baby and it's screaming to the top of its lungs. And the devil accomplished his mission because those people's mind was distracted from what God was trying to do. Now, some of you are mad at me for saying that, and I'll have to take a half of a baby aspirin to get over it. But that child was playing in that seat. And I got up from where I was at. I got that child's leg out of that seat. I picked her up. I popped her backside down. And I said, "Don't you move a muscle. In Jesus' name." And they kept singing, "Just As I Am." And my old grandmother never had two nickels to rub together. I seen her start walking down that aisle, fall down at that altar. She said, "I want to get saved." She prayed the prayer. I was down there. My mother was to her right. And after she accepted Christ, she looked over at Mama and said, "Melba, I love you." Two nights later, my mama said, "That's the first time I've ever had my mother tell me she loved me." See, I'm just of that persuasion, folks. I believe Jesus changes everything. I just believe Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes everything, folks. You say, he changes, he can change everything in your life. He changes everything in other people's lives. Oh, Jesus changes everything. Jesus changes everything.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.